such a worm as I. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my soul killed away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man his creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Sing it again. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass over you. Chiefest of sinners, Jesus will save. All he has promised, that he will do. Wash in the fountain, open for sin, and I will pass over. over you. Judgment is coming, all will be there, each one receiving justly his due. Hide in the saving, sin-cleansing blood, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Great compassion, oh boundless love, oh loving kindness, faithful and true. Find peace and shelter under the blood, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Sing it again, here we go. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen. Glory. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were there before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of this earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, chipped to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory.
Amen.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, should die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. We give you all the glory and praise this morning, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb.
From the beginning, here we go.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessings. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb.
Sing an old hymn that George Beverly Shea used to sing years and years ago. In this world that we're living in today, I can simply say I'd rather have Jesus. So. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand than to be the King of a vast domain, or be held in sin great sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause, and I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. And I'd rather have You, Jesus, than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name than to be the King of a vast domain, or be held in sin dread sway. And I'd rather have You, Jesus, than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have You, Jesus, than anything this world affords today.
We are a new creation.
Yes.
Amen. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise the Lord for that. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians 5. Very simple message this morning. We're also going to have communion today. And so we're going to think about what Jesus has done for us, what He has accomplished for us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is so good. I hope that each of us are pressing on this morning, believing God, believing that time is short, that we need to prepare for the coming of Jesus and be ready to go at any moment when He calls us, because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Praise the Lord. I believe it with all my heart. Things happening now which I never thought would happen before Jesus Christ would come back again. My goodness sake. But God is faithful, and I pray for protection upon us as the days progress until the coming of Jesus. We're looking for that. Let's ask God's blessing on this word of God. Thank You, Father, that You are here in our midst this morning. Thank You that we can trust in You, We believe your word, Father, and we're asking you to bless this word of God to our hearts. Encourage us this morning. Give us your strength and your grace, Lord. Help us to understand everything that is said. We know this is a simple message, Father, but we know, Father, that we all are in different stages of growth here in this meeting. We're asking you, Father, that every person here will understand the message, Father, and be blessed by this wonderful word of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. We're going to begin with verse 14 of chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. So we're going to look at just how this word is worded. It says, the love of Christ constraineth us. What does that mean? If it means in the Greek, to hold us together. He's holding us together. Isn't that beautiful? We are in his hand. We are all the children of the living God. And he's holding us together as the body of Christ, the church. And praise the Lord that we are being held there by his mighty hand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it constrains us. Praise the Lord. He says, so because of that, we judge. What does that mean? Are we judges? We are judges in the aspect of this. The word there means to determine or to conclude. So because we know that the love of Christ is holding us and keeping us, then we, by faith, then determine and conclude that certain facts are true. We are the children of the living God. We are secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. We can determine that. We conclude that. And one died for all, he says there. That is true. We don't do anything at all to merit the grace of God, the mighty things that God has done for us. We don't have any goodness at all in us in any way that would make us merit or feel like God owed us something. There is nothing good in us. There's not any good in any of us. No, not one, the scripture says. We cannot save ourselves. That's why we have to have this grace of God. No other mortal could die for us. It took the precious, holy Son of God come down here with that God nature to die for us and bring us this wonderful salvation. Praise the Lord. He gave his life as a sinless offering for us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. One person alone died for us. No one else was qualified. And he says, then were we all dead? The reason he had to die is because we were dead, as the scripture says in Ephesians 2:1, all of us were dead in trespasses and sins. We did not merit the salvation of God. That wasn't because we were such nice little people down here that God came down, sent his son down here to die for us. It was because we are so rotten that the Lord had to bring redemption. And it was all in his plan before the foundation of the world, wasn't it? Glory to God. Hallelujah. As I said, Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He quickened us. That means to reanimate. That's what that word means. You know what animation is? We have like cartoons. We say it's animation. Things are moving around. Praise the Lord. So that's what he did. We were dead, hopeless, and he animated us. He gave us a new life of Christ, which is so powerful and mighty that it can give us deliverance every day of our lives. Until he comes, it will be delivering us because of this mighty life of the Lord Jesus Christ that is in us. Praise the Lord. He has quickened us together with Christ, Romans 6:13 says. Praise the Lord. Those that are alive from the dead. We were alive from the dead, weren't we? and we are, praise the Lord, alive unto God. Verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should henceforth live, and not live henceforth unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. The whole object of this is to bring us into salvation. When we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, Lord and Savior, Master, Redeemer, the Lord and Savior, Savior, and where we follow his bidding and we walk with him. That's the whole object of this game. Praise the Lord. The whole thing that God did. So it's henceforth, from this moment on, from this moment on, that Christ died for us, and we receive that salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. From that moment on, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. We have been made new in him, and we are from henceforth to not live unto ourselves. That's a big problem with the human race, is selfishness, living for yourself, living for what I can get out of it. But that is not the kind of the life that the Lord wants. He wants us to have a new life in Christ, which then gives us a new divine atmosphere, a new divine attitude in our lives. Praise the Lord that we are not living for ourselves, but for others, for Christ's benefit, for the blessings of God to be upon the people of God. That's why we live. I hope that all of us have come to that place where we're not living just for ourselves, just what I can get out of it. Some people do that in church, you know. Well, I didn't get much out of it, so I'm not going. Well, the attitude there, probably they will never get much out of it. That's the truth. If you really yield to the Lord and you come to the meeting with the attitude of, I'm going to receive today, you will get something good out of it. Praise the Lord, because the Lord will make sure of that. So we're not going to live any more than to us, to ourselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And all of us know that if he had not risen from the dead, our salvation would not be worth anything. Because any man can die, but it took the Son of God to rise from the dead, the head of the new creation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But living for him. Notice that phrase. Henceforth we should not live unto themselves, but unto him. Living unto him. Praise the Lord. It starts with our thoughts. Our mind has to be given over to Christ. So that when we desire things, which our mind does, we are desiring the things of God. We're desiring the spiritual things in our lives. I thought about that verse back in the Old Testament. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That word meditation, it means to deliberately focus on specific thoughts, such as a Bible passage, or reflecting on the meaning in the context of something that God has done. Like when we come together, and hopefully our minds are all on the Lord here, we're thinking about what God has done for us. For the love of Almighty God, that he would see that he wanted us to be his children. What a great and marvelous thing that is. Praise the Lord. That is what meditation does when we give our minds to the Lord. And maybe we're just alone at home even, and we begin to think upon the Lord. There's victory in that, saints of God. There is a victory in really thinking about the things of God. Henceforth, not living to ourselves, but living toward to him and thinking about the things of God. And of course, it goes on into our actions, because it's true. What we usually think is what's going to be acted out in our lives. As we think upon the things of God and dedicate our life to Christ, our actions are going to be pleasing to God, and we're going to be walking in the Spirit. Praise the Lord, that the Bible teaches us so much. Verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. So we see one another in our human bodies, but really we should be looking at one another in Christ. You and I are members of the body of Christ, and we shouldn't be looking at our faults, at whatever it is in our life that are faults. We can say, well, I don't have any faults. Yes, we do. We're still human beings, and each of us have faults, and we're still overcoming, or God would have taken us away from here. We're not perfected yet. So he hasn't come to take us. So we still need his help, don't we? We still need his mercy toward us. So we're not going to know people just after the flesh, after our natural self. Praise the Lord. In the Amplified Version, it says, from now on, we regard no one from a human point of view, according to worldly standards and values. So apply this to Christ also, he says. So he says that even though we don't know one another, we shouldn't know one another just after the flesh, though we have known Christ after the flesh, then henceforth we know him no more. Now, a lot of people in their teaching, in the Word of God, in their churches, they like to dwell on the natural Christ that was here on the earth, doing good deeds, walking about, healing the sick, delivering the lepers, delivering people from all kinds of insanity and everything else. But the Lord does not want us to know Christ just in that human way. He was the Son of God, but yet he was here doing the work of God, wasn't he? But he wants us to know him in a deeper way, that is in the Spirit. The Son of God, who is preparing his people to join him one of these days. He's going to come. He's going to announce that coming with a sound of a trumpet and shout. And we're going to go up to be with him in the air. That's what he wants us to know him in spirit, in a deep way. Not just what he can do for us physically or humanly. All of us have illnesses and we want the Lord to heal us. But you know what? The most important thing God is doing in our life is a spiritual work, a spiritual inward work in our hearts and lives. He wants us to change, and that change comes from inside, the life of Christ working outward in our lives. It is so important. Praise the Lord. So let's not know Christ just as a little human child. You know, they like to make up stories about Jesus when he was a little boy, what he did and everything. We don't know any of that, really. But we know that he is coming again, and he is the majesty on high. Praise the Lord. And I want to be ready to meet him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There are many religious groups that just see him as that natural man. I was interested. I looked online about some things, and it was naming the hundreds of churches that are called evangelical that are just looking at Christ as a natural man, you know, a man who was here to serve God on the earth. It's an amazing thing. It's totally going against the teaching that they have known previously. So, glory to God. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and it can be translated creation, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So when we receive Christ, God reckons us as a member of the new creation. We are a new creation in Christ. We have the life of Christ in us. Praise the Lord. Most of us know this. These are simple teachings this morning. We're born again of the Spirit. We're given a new life. We become a child of the living God. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Does that make you happy? It does me. I'm happy to be a child of the living God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is so good. We are a new creation. We've been born again, the Word of God says. Unborn of the Spirit. We were born of the flesh one time, but we have been born of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And as he says here, all things have passed away. Old things are passed away. Now, some of us have old things. Old things that are manifest, don't we? That's because we're not fully reckoning with God that we are a new creation. We need to learn to walk in the Spirit, as Apostle Paul has taught us, to walk with God, yield ourselves to God. And you can't do that in yourself. If I ask for a show of hands here, how many times you have tried to do something, to overcome something in your own self and fell flat on your face because you couldn't do that? But see, the victory is when we realize in ourself, I can do nothing. It's what the scripture says. I can do nothing. In myself, I can do nothing. But by the power of God, I can overcome all things, no matter what it is. I have God in me, Christ in me, that is an overcoming spirit. And I'm going to be an overcomer because I believe God for that. That's what we need to do, is to realize that we have to believe God for this thing to happen to us, that all things are passed away. Now, that doesn't mean until maybe today an old thing is going to come up. An old nature thing may come up today. But what do? Do you wallow in that and say, well, I can't help it because that's my old man, and my old man always talks that way. Or, you know, I just get mad sometimes. That's not it. That's not victory. We have to say, yes, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me now. Give me strength to overcome. And he will do that. And as time goes on, you will grow in the Lord to the point where you don't do that as much. You don't lose your temper as much. You don't do those things because you are judging that these things are not right and that you want the Lord to govern and be your controller of your life. The divine controller. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good. So the old things are going to pass away. And behold, all things are going to become new. You know, I'm not all new yet. You might have thought that, but I'm not. Okay, you aren't either. We are not quite all new. Now, we have a new life that is complete. But our body, our human body, is the vehicle that either the new life is governing, so that we're doing the will of God and following the will of God, or the old life is governing, so that we're out of victory. We're doing things we shouldn't be doing because we're Christians. So praise the Lord that this work has been finished on the cross. You and I, the work in our lives was finished on the cross. But it's up to us to lay hold of that in our lives. How do we do that? It isn't by any self-effort. It isn't by gritting our teeth and saying, I'm not going to say that bad word again. That's just not it, and it isn't going to work. You'll find that you fail again. It's by falling upon the mercy of God and saying, I am helpless. I cannot do this. I've got to have your strength, Lord. I've got to have your mercy manifest to me because I am not able. You and I are not able. See, it becomes self-effort when we think, oh, it's up to me now. I've got to be good. I've got to do all this stuff. And maybe God will save me one day. That's, of course, not scriptural. So we're going to go on by the strength and the grace of the Lord and his power to give us victory. So we are a new creation. God's children are the members of this wonderful class called the new creation. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So what does it mean to be reconciled? You and I know that in the natural, a man and woman been fussing and they're not getting together and they're divorcing or something. And maybe they will be reconciled. Maybe they will change and decide to try to make it together. Now, in the Greek, this one meaning of this is to be restored to divine favor. And it's a result of atonement. The result of atonement is that you and I were taken from that place of darkness because we believed in Jesus as our Savior, and we have been reconciled with God. He loves us as His own children. He loves us so much. We are reconciled to God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? He hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, by the death of Christ. This is what happened. He's given to us this ministry of reconciliation. You know, we have odds with other people sometimes. We don't like what they do. And sometimes we just say, not going to fellowship them. I'm not going to have anything to do with them. Is that what the Lord really wants? Does He want us to be that kind of person that won't forgive? No. He says, first forgive people. And that's what He intends for us. And He will give us that ability to do that. Reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation, is our ministry. We need to abide by that, don't we? Follow that beautiful reconciliation, coming together. Praise the Lord. Then He says, now then, we are ambassadors of Christ. We are ambassadors of Christ. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I got ahead of my notes. So we'll just skip over there. Praise the Lord. Ambassadors. I think all of us know what that is. An ambassador to the United States going to a foreign country. We're in a foreign country, folks. Getting more foreign all the time. Praise the Lord. We are children of the light, and when we see the things going on in this world, it's like, ooh, what's next? Are they still going to be doing this? Are they going to stop sometimes? An ambassador is a representative or a witness of his country. We are the ambassadors of Christ. We go forth. And our life should be such a light to other people that they can see Christ in us. We're different from the world. In all ways, we need to be different from the world. Praise the Lord. And then He says there in that verse, and then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Apostle Paul wasn't with them in person here, and so he wrote this letter to them telling them, I'm doing it, and like Christ is right there with you, telling you that you need to be reconciled. There was a lot of division in this church, a lot of division, a lot of terrible stuff going on, wasn't there? And so he's saying, be reconciled to God, and that way there's going to be a reconciliation among the people also. Praise the Lord. I'm glad we don't have that here. Thank the Lord. Verse 21, for He, talking about God, hath made Him, God the Father did this, God the Father made Him, Jesus Christ, sin for us. Oh, what a horrible thing to think of, that the precious, holy Son of God, when He hung there on that cross and He was made sin for us, oh, even the sky became dark and there was a great earthquake because this was the Holy Son of God being made sin. He carried all of the sins of the world upon Himself. No wonder He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? What a thing for this precious Son of God to be made sin for us. God did that. He had a plan that was greater far than any little natural few hours. This plan was carried on this whole age of grace, and even the death of Christ, the basis of all people who knew the Lord in the past. The death of Christ is what paid for all their sins. Now it pays for all the sins of the whole world from now on, even through the millennial, through everything. God has provided this place. Oh, hallelujah. Made sin for us. And then it says, who knew no sin? That was his beautiful self. He was the holy, righteous Son of God. Knew no sin at all. Everything he did was pleasing to his Father. Isn't that a beautiful thing to think about? He is our precious Lord Jesus. Everything he does is for our benefit. He is there on the right hand of God right now, interceding for us, praying for us. Oh, hallelujah. He knew no sin. Glory to God. The work is done for salvation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He hath made him. God did this. It's a judicial declaration from God the Father that Jesus Christ paid for the sins of the whole world. It doesn't matter what we think. You know, a lot of people think, well, yeah, he died, but then, you know, I got to really do all these good works because if I don't, I'm going to be cast out. It's not what the scripture teaches. Scripture teaches us that Jesus Christ's death on the cross was sufficient. It paid for the sins of the whole world. Clear back to Adam. Paid for the sin of the whole world. Hallelujah. He knew no sin. Glory to God. He couldn't have one blemish. The little lambs of the Old Testament that were offered had to be no blemishes of any kind. And Jesus Christ was totally pure, totally righteous. Praise the Lord. The only one that could die for us. Glory to God. That we might be made. Took somebody to make us. We were awful wretched. The human race was a mess. And the Son of God made us righteous. Isn't that amazing? He made us the righteousness of God in him. See, it happened because of Christ. He made us the righteousness of God. Praise the Lord. We have a new life. Glory to God. The scripture says it is God which works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. So he's done the work. You and I are righteous. Isn't that something in God's sight? He sees us as his children because of our divine life we have in Christ. Hallelujah. The righteousness of God in him, a holy character that's been imputed to us, counted for in us. In God's sight, we're now his children, the righteous children of the living God.
Hallelujah.
Who are you?
Thank you.
You have an answer? Who are you? The children of the mighty God. Hallelujah. Say that with me. The children of the mighty God. That's who we are. Are we going to go around in defeat? No, because God is our strength. He is our helper. He's with us constantly. Glory to God.
My life, my love, I give to thee, O Lamb of God, who died for me. Oh, may I ever faithful be, my Savior and my God. I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my soul shall be. I'll live for him who my Savior and my God. I now believe thou dost receive, for thou hast died that I might live, and now henceforth I'll trust in thee, my Savior and my God. I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my soul shall be. I'll live for him who died for me, my Savior and my God. O thou who died on Calvary to save my soul and make me free, I consecrate my life to thee, my Savior and my God. I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my soul shall be. My Savior.